punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. And it is Friday. Big time. A lot going on today. Give you your grain reports and livestock reports here in this segment. And then next segment, you don't want to miss that. I'll have Mr. Mike Schulte. He's the Executive Director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. He'll be on with me to give us an update on what's happening with wheat harvest, how the wheat looks, bad, good, the whole nine yards. But first, we'll get on with the grain reports. And then in the third segment, I'll give you an update on the some more conversations I had with the Bobby Martin. And some other stuff going up, and I got the Woodward report from yesterday at the Woodward Livestock Auction. Elk City Livestock Auction is going on right now, and Hollis will be going on tomorrow down there in Harmon County, and Monday morning Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be going on. So if you got anything need done, give Mr. Brandon Hickey at the Elk City, or Snapchats are already coming in. It's going to be a long show. I feel a disturbance in the force coming. Anyway, we had a lot of fun last night. I'm richer, even though most people think there was collusion in this deal, but hey, everybody has the right to opinion. We have a First Amendment here. But guess what? I got the power of radio behind me, so good luck with that. All right, it's even better than Snapchat, Bobby, so just calm down. Anyway, let's see what's happening with the futures on the grains. Let me make sure that's updated. Corn, July 790, September 743, December 737, and we got soybeans, July 1707, August 1629, and September 1562. Soybean meal, July 438, August 424. Soybean oil is at 74, it's down for July. August is 72.77. Hard red winter wheat futures, July 11.24, down 24. September is at 11.31. It's also down 24. Oats just hanging in there steady as always does. July 6.59, September 6.21. Let's see what happening on the cash market in Oklahoma and Texas right now. Hard red winter wheat is at $10.63 a bushel. Corn is at $8.58. Soybeans are at $16.14. And I didn't take a peek. I need to take a peek at the corn here. Or not corn, but the cotton real quick. Look at that when we were there a minute ago. There we go. Back up. Looks like cotton is up a little bit. Not much. But it's hanging in there. $1.43. Lots of cotton planted. I did notice that there's lots of cotton going on, and lots of rows anyway. I haven't seen any up, but somebody yesterday texted in when I said that. Down by Jester, there was cotton up down there. So good. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of cotton coming up here. Had yesterday, tonight, and tomorrow. It's going on. Well, first, let's take a brief look at what's happening. Corn and soybean futures were higher in overnight trading after a bill passed the U.S. House of Representatives that would open the door for year-round sales of E15 fuel blends. Well, we're going to get on with that bill here later on in the show because there's some other stuff that come along with that bill. And I want to talk about it. So, anyway, the U.S. Drought Monitor shows that most Corn Belt states were faring fairly well last week. Through 88% of Nebraska was seeing drought conditions, Just over 4% of the state was suffering from extreme drought, the second worst rating on the monitor scale. Corn futures for July delivery rose 5.25 cents to $7.93.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. July soybeans gained 7.25 to $17.09 a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery fell 5.25 to $10.85.25 a bushel in Chicago, while the Kansas City futures lost 6.75 cents to $11.49 a bushel. How's that? Well, let's see what else here we can go over real quick. I'm going to save that for later in the show. But the heat wave does continue in the U.S. Midwest and the Southern Plains, as heat advisories and excessive heat watches have been issued for South Dakota all the way through the Delta into Florida, according to the National Weather Service. About two-thirds in Nebraska and parts of South Dakota, Iowa and Kansas, an excessive heat watch will take effect starting tomorrow and lasting through Monday. Heat indexes on Saturday will reach as high as 106 Fahrenheit in the eastern half of Nebraska. Overnight temperatures will drop into the upper 70s and nights will be warm and humid. In southern Missouri and northern Arkansas and eastern Oklahoma, heat indexes will hit as high as 109 Fahrenheit. Heat advisory was in effect until 8 p.m. tonight. And there we go. When I come back, I'll have Mr. Mike on the show with me. And we're going to be talking about what's happening with the wheat harvest in Oklahoma, from south to north, from east to west, and includes the panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma. So we'll see how the wheat's faring so far. Some looks good, some looks bad. Sandy's dad up at Billings told me this morning that they're getting ready to get pretty close to come over there to those 2 quarters of wheat that he has there around the house. Be interesting to see what happens. Now they got a little more rain a little earlier than we did, but they will still dry through the winter. So we'll see, and see if there's any diseases, anything going on. I've heard of seed sprouting in the head down in Kiowa County and down in Tillman County. Haven't heard anything about it around Custer County and up in that way yet, but we'll see what we'll find out. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He came back to the office, was signed all the papers, and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We strive in our cow herd for high-efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, I'm back. Currently it's 92 degrees. The heat index is 92. The winds are out of the south, southwest at 12 miles an hour. And gust up to 17 miles an hour. And on the line with me right now out of OKC is Mr. Mike Schulte. He is Executive Director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. Hey, does that weather sound like combining weather to you?
We're moving full force across the state right now. Certainly been really good the last 5 to 7 days, and we are calling harvest around 60% complete in the state as of today. A lot of harvest taking place in north central, beginning to start in northeast, and even beginning to start in panhandle regions of the state.
Well, I just got through telling the listening audience that you would be filling us in all the way into the panhandle, and you just did that. First, if you got an extra second, tell everybody who you are, where you farm, and how you're liking your job as the Executive Director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission.
I am the Executive Director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. We focus on research priorities through the checkoff program for the variety development program at Oklahoma State University that provides wheat varieties for producers to utilize in all regions of the state. And then we also fund our national organization, U.S. Wheat Associates, with 17 other state wheat commissions that then have 13 offices located around the globe worldwide. With technical millers and bakers and cereal chemists that work with millers and bakers in those regions that then give us representation in 100 countries worldwide for the marketing of our wheat crop out of Oklahoma as well as the United States.
You're a busy man.
We tend to be a little busy during this time of year. We do have a lot going on. Right now, you know, things looking a little better than what we had originally expected as far as harvest goes in Oklahoma, but still a lot of challenges out there for producers, specifically in South Central, Southwest, Western Oklahoma, Panhandle regions, Northwest Oklahoma. We just didn't get the rains in the right time. The crop really burned up, and so, you know, I think producers are thankful for what they're getting in the areas that we are able to harvest, but there was a lot of the crop that was disastered out and was never harvested, and so certainly a challenging time for producers, and, you know, commodity prices are at an all-time high, but that doesn't really do agricultural producers any good at a time maybe if that they can't take anything to market.
So, yeah, exactly. You know, just as things were getting good, prices were getting good, Mother Nature didn't cooperate, and you know, I've seen some combining going on around our area out here, which, you know, our listening area is a big area of Western Oklahoma and Southwestern Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle. There's a lot of wheat country out here, and you know, it just, and then when you, now that we did get some moisture, which I think, like you said, was just a little too late to help, and the guys that are trying to combine right now, the weeds are taking over. You know, the weeds are just as high as, because the wheat was not very tall. And speaking of that, and not to get sidetracked, what do you think, besides moisture and lack of moisture, that I'm seeing short wheat even where they did get some good rains, what do you think caused that? Was it some kind of root problem during the winter because it was dry?
I think the crop was just so far behind all winter, and I think it really raced to catch up, and so I think it was extremely stressed, and so when it did get to those final growth stages, it just went ahead and headed out, and that's what we ended up with in the plant. So
right.
Certainly has been extremely challenging, I know, for producers to go out and harvest, and I think, you know, you would talk to some producers and they would question, you know, you know, why are we doing this? We'd normally just disaster this out or move on with life. But when the commodity prices are, you know, range anywhere from $9 to maybe $12 a bushel, and they think they can still maybe get a 15 to 20 bushel crop out, it kind of changes the discussion and it changes the mindset of them fighting to get whatever they can out of the field. In some instances, though, I have seen where there have been very low-lying crops where it has headed out, and we have had short stands. But those producers have been maybe getting 20 to 25 bushels an acre out of the crop, and so you know, you can make that work at the current commodity price that we are today. It's just, it is a lot more challenging for producers when they're having to do that. A lot more stressful, you know, make sure that they don't pick up rocks and other things in the field too when they're trying to get that harvest out.
Yeah, I've seen some of the pictures that were posted on the Oklahoma Wheat Commission Facebook page, and they were out working, and there were some pretty deep combine ruts out there from, you know, I mean, we won't turn this moisture down, but, you know, you take short wheat, soft ground, mud hose, and, man, it's crazy. But it's not just Oklahoma. It's the whole wheat belt that has, have you heard of, I know I follow the Kansas Wheat Commission, and they found some really decent wheat up in the northern part, but as far as the southern part, especially the southwestern part, like you said, and western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle and northern Texas, it's just the same story, it looks like.
It's just a drought-stricken story, basically, all across, you know, west Texas, western Oklahoma, eastern Colorado, again, southwest Kansas, even northwest Kansas. I would say that, you know, there is a good crop out there in Oklahoma, in north central Oklahoma, along the I-35 corridor up into Kansas and Wichita areas. And I think probably in northern Kansas they're going to get into a little bit of good wheat. But we're also hearing challenges again then once people get back into Nebraska and to the Dakotas, that it's just been so extremely dry. Even though they're getting the rains now in those regions, it's going to be just a little bit too late for the crop overall in those areas. Things look, you know, certainly better in the Pacific Northwest regions this year on the soft white wheat. They have been getting the moisture up there, but they didn't have a crop last year in that region. They were basically in the same situation we were. So I think, you know, that's still going to impact price opportunities for us with everything else that's going on in the world right now. You know, it's really interesting to read some of the reports on consumption of flour, but you know, I have been hearing just in reports from the milling industry itself this past week that, you know, production has really ramped up and it's really moving pretty fast, and there seems to be a demand specifically domestically for flour in the grocery stores as well as bread items. And we know that the food service has certainly picked up with the restaurant industry from where we were 2 years ago. So that is kind of changing that dynamics on the discussion of the demand. And I think there is concerns, you know, that supplies are maybe going to be a little bit challenging, maybe into the export side of things. I don't think necessarily we'll be hurt here in the United States, but I do think that there could be some issues just on the supply chain side of things, because ingredients to make some of these products in the mills and bakeries is going to be challenging to source, as with all the things, you know, everybody else is dealing with. The supply chain issue, I don't think we're out of the woods on that.
No, I think you're right. If you're just joining me, I have a Mike Schulte. He is the executive director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission, and you're a farmer yourself, I take it, from what I hear. Anyway, when I called in to find you, somebody said you was out on the combine, so I'll take that as you know what you're doing.
So, I'm not out on the combine today. I was earlier in the week. Yeah. So I'm in central Oklahoma, and we are wrapped up on my farm. We wrapped up at the beginning of the week, but it has been a struggle. I know that producers are still really kind of just moving along in south central parts of Oklahoma, really from that Hydro Hinton area down to south of El Reno, Minco, Pocasset, and Chickasha. That's just an area that got hit extremely hard with heavy rains, you know, the last 2 weeks ago, and there was a lot of hail damage, and And we are going to have some sprout damage in that region. We've had that reported. Remarkable that I think we didn't have as much damage in the crop considering everything that it went through.
Right.
We are not hearing of sprout damage at all once you get up into the northern regions of the state, north of Enid and even west. And so they're getting some better yields up there. And based on the way that that is working through the market, I think the percentage is going to be so low on the sprout damage that we feel like we're going to be able to blend that in and make a product. So hopefully it's not going to be too big of an issue like maybe we thought it was going to be.
Well, that's you hit the nail right on the head around Enid and stuff. That's where my wife's family, they're in the middle of their harvest right there right now. Sorry, not right there, but right now they're by Billings, and I'm waiting on my father-in-law to update me on his 2 quarters of wheat that he's got right there by Billings, and he said he's looking pretty good, but he did tell me this morning that there was some fungus going on in some of the wheat and some other stuff. I don't know. I can't remember exactly what all he said, but you know, there's going to be issues with all this rain we got. Something's got to happen. You know, it's always, nothing's ever perfect for farmers. Always. Last year, I'm telling you, with that rain, we didn't get any rain, and all of a sudden it came, and the yields weren't record amounts, but the quality was excellent last year. And what are you, what's going on with the quality of our wheat that you've been hearing about this year?
Well, so last year was an exceptional quality year for us.
Yes.
And I don't know that I'll ever see anything like that again in our life, just based off of what laboratory tests were telling us. We have had early samples already submitted out of southwest Oklahoma. We normally are 2 weeks faster into the schedule of that, so we generally already have submitted by this time samples from Kansas as we follow harvest to the southern plains to the Dakotas, but we're just behind. So early tests are showing us actually that we are looking at a consistent product. There are some more shriveled kernels, but since it's consistent, it looks like it's going to maybe transport easily, and it's going to be something that the millers are going to be able to work with overall. We also have not really seen any discoloration. I mean, there's been some, but it's really a clean crop. One thing that we were able to do is, because it didn't rain all year, we just didn't have the weed pressure. And so we do have weed pressure now, but it's kind of different weeds. It's like we're getting it out of there, and maybe we've got Johnson grass and pigweeds and things like that, but producers in most parts have been able to thresh that out, and so it hasn't been as big of an issue. Samples are showing us right now on early samples that it's a much cleaner crop than what we had last year. And we have high proteins this year, so we're looking at 12 to 13% protein averages.
That's good. We did lose
a little bit on test weight because of the rains, but I think we're looking at still a 58 to 59 pound average statewide. Again, given everything that the crop has been through, that's pretty remarkable. And so we were talking to millers and bakers yesterday. You know, they would probably rather have a 58 or 59 pound test weight wheat that had a 12% protein rather than maybe a all 62-pound test weight wheat that had 10% protein. So I think that given everything that we've been dealing with, this is something that the industry is going to be able to utilize, and hopefully we're not gonna have the challenges that we may have normally had from a marketability standpoint, both into the domestic and export market from our region.
No, so it's that helps out a little bit. You know, with everything that's gone wrong, something like you just said would surely going to put a little bit of a smile back on some of the producer's face. You know, well, hey, I didn't have much, but it was good.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that is exactly right. And, you know, I have talked with a lot of producers, even in the areas that were harder hit with rain. You know, even though there's a little bit of sprout damage, it's still really phenomenal that we really had anything to harvest at all. And so, you know, I remember we had a year like this when I was a junior in high school back in 1996, and we didn't harvest anything on our farm. And this year we were in the mid-20s. Personally, I think that's really good considering, everything that we had against us, considering we had no moisture really from after we planted up until March. We got a little bit, and then it rained again at harvest. But I think that it is a testament to the wheat genetics that we have today that we didn't have maybe 20 to 25 years ago, because I think, if you look at how this year mirrored that year back in 1996, and many producers didn't have a crop, we are at least harvesting something. So I think that producers are cognizant of that.
Well, great. Well, Mr. Mike, you don't know how much I appreciate you coming on the show today. You're a lucky man. Today is my anniversary of when the Today in Ag show actually aired 1 year ago today. So you're my spotlight today. How's that?
that sounds great.
and that, like I said, thank you for your time. And here in 2 or 3 weeks, when we think wheat harvest is all over in Oklahoma and you've got some more information to get out, I'll give you a call and have you come back on the show if you would and give us an update on what all overall happened, and was it bad, good, or great? Or we know it's not great. It was crazy. That's a crazy drought. I'm 60 years old, and I mean, we went from turning the water faucet off for 5 or 6 months, and then it come back on full blast. So it's a crazy year.
Yeah. So, for sure.
Anyway, thank you again. And this is Mike Schulte with the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. He is executive director. And, sir, you have a great day.
Thank you, Jimmy. You too.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Well, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark. And today is my 1 year anniversary for doing the show. And I appreciate it. It's been a rough last 12 to 14 hours with sports and agriculture mixed, and I'll get into that when I get back after this break. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 10th. 884 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 325 brought 210. 5 at 542 brought 178. 7 at 593 brought 177.50. 4 at 758 brought 158.50. 3 at 1,007 brought 141. 4 head of heifers at 274 brought 510. 3 at 450 brought 176. 13 at 494 brought 165. 3 at 533 brought 171. 13 at 597 brought 163.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 106. Butcher bulls brought 9250 to 116. Bred cows were 810 to 1575. Pairs brought 1100 to 1900. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
92 Yep, 92 degrees. Heat index is at 92. Southwest winds, 12 miles an hour. Gust up to 17. Humidity is 34%. If you're baling right now, you're shedding the leaves off your stems for sure. Let's check out some of the local temperatures real quick. Let's see if Altus is winning again today. They've been winning here quite a bit. Well, yeah, they're winning. They're at 95 degrees. Shamrock, Texas, you are at 93. Hollis, you're at 94. But there's a tie for first. Granfield down there in Tillman County is at 95. 93 at Bessie. Coolest spot in our listening area that I can find right now is Cheyenne, Oklahoma. Coming in at the low temperature in our listening area at 90 degrees. Well, there was a disturbance in the force in the golfing world that includes a lot of ag people last night. So to start this off, before I get into the golf story, I got to go back to my original story that I aired yesterday about the Bobby Martin. Anyway, I guess he took it personal about me saying something about, I like Bobby. I do like Bobby. He's a good friend. I consider him a friend, or did anyway. but his dad, I love his dad. Not only his dad, is I think he's a real cool guy. He's not scared. He listens to my show. And my boss is coming in here. And also, my boss, he unfriended me on Facebook because of what happened last night. And so I guess I better just go ahead and turn the mic on and take my beating. Here we go. You're on live there, boss.
Yeah, I just want to say, I like to ring it. So, you ready? Yeah. Take her down a little bit?
Yeah, I took her down.
Well, first of all, I just want to start by saying congratulations to the three guys you played with. And in the golf world. I know it's part of ag because we played on grass. It's been grown. It's been, you know, it's part of agriculture.
Ag fertilizer, that's ag right. Chemicals.
So, and I don't know. That belongs on this show.
Yeah. And you notice how many of the players are ag related.
And that's exactly right. Especially last night, I did see a lot of ag related players.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of farmers' teams.
And just say, as much as for you guys out there to know this, this right here, since last night, this is the most I've talked to Jimmy since we played last night. Anyway, congratulations to those three guys. They did a great job. And I want to say congratulations to Jimmy specifically for being at the radio station here for 1 year today.
Well, the show's been on for 1 year.
Were you here a little bit longer?
Yeah, I was here. I started in early May.
We didn't start you the first day. I can't believe
on
that.
Air.
Yeah,
it was a good thing you did.
I think it took us a while to teach you, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, it took me a while to learn.
Well, hey, I'll tell you guys this: when Jimmy came on, this is the funniest thing. I still remember this day. You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
Yeah, I know it's coming.
Hey,
did you know your mic was off?
Yeah. Well, Jimmy said we were out talking to Jimmy, and Jimmy said, "Well, heck, if I can frack a well, I can be on the radio." And then we told him it had to be a full hour. And then it started getting real. But did a good job, Jimmy, so far. The show's been awesome. I hope everybody still likes it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hadn't got any text in. Somebody said to say, get that guy off there.
Yeah, there's some that probably want to say.
Well, hey, my number is 243-7855 if you want to text me.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah, and this is coming from the gentleman. I'll give you his number out. This is coming from the gentleman that as soon as we turned our scorecard in last night, he unfriended me and Justin Barrick off of Facebook.
Yeah. It's just for a little bit. Hey, I'll be back. We're going to play together tomorrow.
Yeah, we are.
I did get that set up. Justin put us together.
And I got $30 to cover our bet.
Yeah, so, you better.
Enjoyed working for you guys. You guys are great to work for.
Yeah, this has been good, Jimmy. I hope you guys out there enjoy Jimmy. And I mean, we do here in the office because he walks in the office in the morning and it's just, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. You don't know what he just got through doing. And you don't know what he's going to bring in the office. We've already had a calf in here just because
Boots
it was cold.
Cow poop.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've learned that one pretty quick.
Yeah.
Walked in. But anyway.
I forgot to stomp my feet. So anyway, but again, I think.
And if you ever run into Drew Cobb, Ask Drew Cobb to do a Jimmy Clark. It's the closest Jimmy Clark you'll ever see. He could be on Saturday Night Live doing Jimmy Clark.
Oh, he's perfect at it.
But he's 1 year of good service here so far, Jimmy. This has been good.
All right. Thanks, boss.
We got, what, 60 Emmy more left? We got 15 more?
What?
Of these show, 15 years of these shows left?
No, my contract runs out next month.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll need some sponsors to keep Jimmy in because his contract numbers are going up.
So, anyway, thanks, boss.
All right.
Well, on with my Bobby Martin story. Anyway, so I said I loved his dad, and Bobby kind of got a little hurt over that deal. Well, the funny thing is last night, Mr. Ronnie Martin was over there at the clubhouse, and he yelled out to me when he seen me. He said, "Jimmy, you got two attaboys from me." And I was like, "What did I do?" He said, "One, I love you. I love your show. And two, you love me and you only like my son." So anyway, I got two attaboys. Then I bought him a cold beverage, and that got me another half of attaboy, not a full attaboy. But anyway, it was good. They're real good people. Ronnie is one of my biggest buyers of tomatoes that I produce at the farm, and he's an avid customer also, but he's just a good person. But the funny story he told yesterday was, or no, he didn't, Dina did, his wife, they were headed to go check something on a job, I guess, and anyway, it was during my show yesterday, and he was giving directions to her where to drive to, and she reached over there and turned the volume down so she could see or hear what he was saying about the directions, and then he yelled at her to turn it back up. "That's Jimmy Clark. You can't turn him down." And anyway, you just had to been there and listen to the story of Dina telling it. It was pretty funny. Anyway, but Bobby accused me of, I don't know if you call it cheating, but I am the president of the club over there, and I do the sign-ins, and then I do the poker chips. And these poker chips are white. They got numbers on them. As people check in, I throw them over in a separate pile, turn them upside down so you can't see the numbers. And when they all get in here, I used to play dominoes down at the Royal Game Room, downtown Elk City, back in the 70s. Everybody remembers that. So I know how to shuffle the chips. And I'd shuffle them, and I'd pick four random from different parts of this chip pile. And the guys, and I put them out. And then the tournament event committee, which is Justin, JB, Jay Manning, and Tanner, they sign the, and Jen, they fill in the cards. I just hand them the number. I don't know whose they are. Yes, that was one good draw last night we got, I've got to admit. But, you know, you still got to make the shots. So it doesn't matter whether you're good or bad. You still got to make the shots. But it was a $4,000 pot, so tempers were pretty neat. Bobby come in accusing me of all kinds of stuff. Travis Stout accused me of stuff, but guess what? The money is in my gun safe, so don't worry about it, guys. I didn't cheat, and I slept last night after I won it. But anyway, it was a good time. Well, when I get back, we'll have the Today in Ag and the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. Be right back after this.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyard's, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, June the 14th. We sold 778 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, June the 16th, we sold 2,044 calves and feeders for a total of 2,822 cattle for the week. Great killing and bull market, cow and bull market. Tuesday, better killing cows, 94 to 102. Thin cows brought 46 to 89. Bulls brought 99 to 123.50. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1,100 to 1,350, or 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 950 to 1,250. 5 to 8 year old pairs, 1060 to 1475, and our 9 and older pairs, 1125 to 1460. Hunter steer cattle, 3 to 4 weight steers, 199 to 211, 4 to 450, 186 to 203, 5 to 550, 182 to 184, 6 to 650, 174 to 177, 7 to 750, 162 to 170, 8 to 850, 156 to 163. 9 to 950 steers, 149 to 158.50. Feeders were steady to 5 higher. Calves, 2 to 6 higher. Hunter heifers, 4 to 450 heifers, 175 to 179. 5 to 550, 173 to 181. 6 to 650, 156 to 167. 7 to 750, 152 to 159 and a quarter. 750 to 8 weight heifers, 148 to 149. And our 9 to 950 heifers, 132 to 137.50. For this Tuesday, June the 21st, we will have 50 bred cows and pairs. We've got 20 other older pairs, 10 nice young pairs. Give us a call. The only week we ever shut down in the summer is the week of the 4th of July, so no sale Tuesday, July the 5th, no sale Thursday, July the 7th. We'll see you this Tuesday. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
92 degrees. I don't know if you're watching on Facebook, but let me get my camera back up here. Let me get my headphones off and get that turned right. I want you to look at that. That's the KECO cattle brand. And Candace, my hero in this office, she come up with that brand. It's got barbed wire in it, and they come up with that just because of the Today in Ag show. We have a cattle brand now, and that's these hats, limited edition. Sorry, I can't get it out to everybody, but one of these days, maybe everybody will get their KCO Today in Ag hat. But anyway, that was part of the celebration, having that out before my 1 year anniversary, and it's out. It's a Sharp brand. If you ever see Candace, tell her thank you. She did a wonderful job. Well, the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast is 98 degrees today, hot with winds the way they are right now, 10 to 15 to 20 mile an hour gusts. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 94. Hardly any wind. Will be out of southeast tomorrow, 6 to 15. Sunday, well, this is different. This wasn't up here an hour ago. Sunday, 10% chance of isolated thunderstorms. 95 degrees. Sunday night, 10% chance of isolated thunderstorms. That's one in, that's a 90% chance that it's not going to rain. So there you have it. Monday, hot, 97. Winds start kicking back up a little bit, but not bad like it was earlier this week. And Tuesday, 98 degrees. And that's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Range forecast. Well, I have to finish the deal from last night, because this morning, as you guys know, we have a professional sports reporting team here in our studio at Paragon Communications. And Skinny, Aaron Cout, he's the head honcho over the sports, or he thinks he is anyway. He had to get on there and start out with this golf tournament last night. He said, my head was big, and it hardly fit through the door, and blah, 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 blah. Well, it's not true. It was my billfold that was preventing me from coming through the door. So he's all mad he wasn't on our team last night. And if I could have cheated and got him on there, I would have, because I really like Skinny. But anyway, we had a good time after the tournament, after everybody calmed down and knew that, hey, it is what it is. Today, this morning, a gentleman from down Cooperton way, down around Mountain Park, stopped by here. He had his Wagyu Angus Hereford cross. I think that's what this one is. I'm not sure. He actually didn't say. But anyway, it's Wagyu. Major Cooperton is what we call him. And you guys probably heard about him on Tradio and my show, because he's a veteran. And he's part of the Farmers Veteran Coalition of Oklahoma. And he stopped by this morning and dropped off a nice little white styrofoam ice chest that's got 4 to 6 Wagyu steaks in it and 6 or 8 packages of Wagyu hamburger meat. He wants me to try it. He wants my another story. He got it done at the butcher block in Canute. So he's part of that team that buy local, get it processed local. So I just wanted to give a big shout out to the major. Thank you so much. You didn't have to do that, and I know you did. And I hated I missed you here this morning, because I did have you a KECO hat, because you've been one of our dear listeners from down in the far part of our listening area down in the southeast, down there in Kiowa County and down there close to Tillman County and all that. So thank you again for dropping the meat off. I can't wait to try it. I've shared it with some of the people in our studio, so all is good. What else we got going on this weekend? Oh, boom, it's a done deal. The tickets are can be purchased now. The first annual KECO 96.5 Wild Plum Jam 2022 Music Fest. It's ready. It's rocking and rolling. You guys get a chance. You can purchase your tickets at all the Hutch's stores in Oklahoma. But the reason why I'm bringing this up here is just because this Wild Plum Jam is part of the Dust Bowl Days that they'll be having in Sayre on July 15th, 16th, and 17th. Well, on that Friday, starting at noon till midnight, July 15th at the City Park, Stony LaRue, Tyler Wilhelm, Michael Martin Murphy, Joe Merrick, Even Money, and Ragland will be going on. And while you're doing this, I mean, it's an all-day event, but Sayre Parks has it going on. Not only will they have food trucks and vendors there and adult beverages available, there's free swimming at the swimming pool. The admission to this thing is $50 a person, because it is an all-day event. You get a wristband, the whole nine yards. Kids under 12, free with an adult. Get your Wild Plum Jam and homemade biscuits from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday evening. Buy tickets at any Hutch's C-Store location, or maybe purchase online at sayrechamber.org or at the gate. Only tickets purchased at Hutch's C-Store will be entered into the first annual Sweet and Juicy Sweepstakes. Cash and prizes given away all afternoon, and you must be present to win. So when you buy your ticket at the Hutch's, they'll give you a wristband. That'll be your wristband or a ticket. Anyway, there's a number on there, and you will be eligible for these drawings that they'll be doing. Only if you buy them from Hutch's. If you buy them at the gate or online, you won't be eligible for these drawings. So go ahead, get your tickets bought at any Hutch's C-Store, and there's a bunch of them in Oklahoma. Get them bought, because that's going to be one great concert that you guys don't want to miss out on. Also, guess what? One of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Drew Cobb, Mr. Tradio and Mr. Backroads, is going to be the MC at the concert. And the next day at the Dust Bowl Days, I'm going to be the MC of the parade. So, man, we got it going on. KECO has got it on with the Dust Bowl Days over there at Sayre, Oklahoma, coming up July 15th, 16th, and 17th. So be sure and get your tickets purchased while you can. All right, let's see what else is going on. As you guys heard that report from Jerry Nine, but I wanted to briefly go over it my way. Yesterday they had 2,044 head there, but the cattle market is steadily going up. I mean, it's up 3 to 6 this week. Here we got some unweaned 387 pounders, 201. Some 486 pounders, or no, 428 pounders, 203. Some 514s, $1.82. They were unweaned. 700 pounders, $1.70. 800 pounders, bringing up to $1.65. And then there's some 945 weights, brought $1.58 on the steer side. But on the heifer side, I mean, the prices are great on the heifer side too. 441 pounders bringing 179. Got some 571s bringing, or 524s bringing $1.81. Some 607s, 167. 791s bringing $733, bringing 159. 870s, 137. The market's good. Now, I'd be interested to see what the results are today from Elk City and tomorrow from Hollis. But, you know, slaughter cows bringing up to almost a buck still, and bulls $1.20. So, anyway, we got it. It's market's not looking too shabby. Well, the House, as I early, I was talking about to you guys earlier, the House has voted to do some crazy stuff. Over the objections of the Republicans, the House passed legislation on Thursday to create a USDA special investigator to enforce fair play rules in the highly concentrated meatpacking industry. It was the most significant livestock marketing reform to advance in Congress this session. Democrats, who combined 6 other bills, there we go, they had to combine some other stuff, with a special investigator proposal. The package would combat inflation by lowering fuel and food costs. Republicans said the investigator, a career USDA employee reporting to the agriculture secretary, was a poison pill in an otherwise appealing package. So increasing competition will ensure livestock ranchers get a fair deal for their livestock, while families get a good price for their meat and poultry, said Ms. Pelosi. A vote against this bill is a vote to keep the cost of gas and groceries high. So they put that in there to get that. I'm not for, this is my personal opinion, might be wrong, and I have been wrong before, and I'm probably going to be wrong again. I'm not a favor for this special investigator. There's laws already in place for this packer stuff that's going on and all this stuff. All they need to do is enforce it. It's a Dane election year, and they're just going to let people tell people what they want them to hear. And what's going on. They're just doing everything. It's a bigger joke than the January 6th crap that's going on right now. But the investigator, there's no need in that. If guys don't want to do AMEs, take your cattle to the sale barn, do whatever you want with them, or do like some of us are doing out here. We raise our cattle, we feed them, we get them butchered, we sell them to people to eat local, the whole works. And we got great processors around here. There's all kinds of ways to make your farming and your ranching make without getting the government more involved than what they already are. So there's my rant of the day, and I hope you don't mind. And we got a few texts coming in. Which one of you are going to MC for the Sunday church at the Dust Bowl days? I'm pretty sure it's not going to be Drew, and I'm pretty sure it's not going to be James Clark. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to my show. 1 year today, Today in Ag has been on the air, and I appreciate you guys listening to me. I'm amazed you do, but anyway, it's been fun. I've got a lot of new friends, and I've actually learned more about agriculture since I started than what I knew before. Anyway, you guys have a blessed weekend, and God bless you. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
they call me
Mr. Misunderstood. KECO, Elk City.